This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. This is another interview in our Back to School series. We've got one more segment coming up shortly to get to, but today we meet Joe LaFontaine. And did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right.
From the Days Creek Charter School. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. No problem.
And your first year with the district, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Talk about the Days Creek Charter School. How many students, staff, that kind of thing?
We've got about 40 staff for 235 students.
And talk about how your charter works. I know that not everybody's charter is necessarily set up the same.
Yeah, so this charter is about 20 years old. The community felt that it was a good way to kind of expand the school and get a few more students in the school. The numbers were waning. And so now our charter is reaching out to the communities of Myrtle Creek, Canyonville, Riddle, Southern Douglas County for the most part. And about 45% of our students come from outside the district.
Now, that's a pretty big number for a school that is so far out there. What's the attraction of driving so far or getting kids bused so far to Days Creek?
Well, you know, we have good, I mean, our class size, we are a K through 12, so we have kindergarten through high school. And because of that, we have actually pretty small class sizes. Our biggest class is about 22, maybe. And so what happens is you get a lot of individualized attention and support for your work, which has really been very helpful for a lot of kids that struggle.
And is this your first time working with the charter school?
It's not. No, I served as the charter school principal of the Jane Goodall Environmental Middle School, charter school in Salem. I did that for 6 years while I simultaneously was the principal at Waldo Middle School. Jane Goodall was a very small charter school, only 90 students, grades 6 through 8. And it was actually inside Waldo. And so so I did both at the same time.
That was kind of a unique arrangement.
It was really unique. And it was really cool, too, because it was an environmental middle school named after Jane Goodall. And she actually would come there every few years, actually, and engage our students in the work that they were doing. The Jane Goodall Environmental Middle School was a very high-achieving school. It's still active in Salem. But Waldo itself was a very low-achieving school. So it was kind of a really interesting dynamic.
Well, I suppose if you named a school after me, I'd show up once in a while, too. So that's fascinating, yeah. Though. What about other stops on your educational pathway?
Well, so I actually started in Winston. I'm a Douglas County guy. Went to Douglas High School, class of 76, proud Trojan. And wanted to return to the community, basically to serve the community that helped kind of raise me and my brother and sister. So in 83, returned to Winston as an educator and worked at Winston Middle School for a little over 20 years. And when I left there in 2004, I had become the principal and served as principal for about 3.5 years before leaving Winston. It was from there that I went to Salem to that Waldo Middle School position. From Salem, I spent a couple years in Ontario, Oregon before migrating to Portland, where I ended up retiring from school in 2020 as the regional superintendent of high schools for the city of Portland.
Wow. Ontario to Portland. That had to be a bit of a shock.
Well, I didn't move directly into that job. We just moved to Portland because we were having a grandchild. And so the kid was there and the wife kind of said, hey, you know what? We're moving to Portland. So we kind of landed on our feet there. And then my work drew me into the central office and kind of up that ladder to where I was eventually helping to run the leadership of the high schools.
So how do you get from there to being down here?
We're from here. And so so after retiring in 2020, we were planning on doing a lot of traveling, and we have done some traveling. But our son was in a little motorcycle accident, so he came back into the community to make sure he could get back on his feet and bought a home. And just, you know, we remodeled the home, and I did the yard and then after about 3 years of that, the wife said, dude, you're driving me crazy. You got to go do something, you know. And so I said, you know, if I'm going to get back into schools, I really want to work somewhere where I can work closely with kids and the staff. So something a little bit smaller. And so this position in Dace Creek came up, and it was just perfect.
How did the beginning of the school year go for the students and staff at Dace Creek?
You know, I think we're off to a great start. We had a back-to-school bash. We had probably a couple hundred people show up there in Dace Creek. You know, this whole COVID thing has really put a damper on education. And in communities like Dace Creek, many in Douglas County, frankly, where that school is the center of the community, it's really put a damper on the entire community. So what we did in Dace Creek is we decided we're going to start off on a different foot. And so we had a big back-to-school bash. We had the bouncy houses. We had all kinds of different fun and games and food for people, and just brought everybody into the, back into the school as best we could. And our ambition is to make Dace Creek School the center of the community again. And so that's what we're doing right now. And we have events there daily where the community is involved, and we just hope to keep that going.
And how about now you started, when did you actually officially start?
I started back in July the 11th, officially, yeah.
So you had some time to get ready. How many new staff did you have to hire this time around?
We were in pretty good shape, actually. We had our staff pretty lined up. I was glad to hear that when I did come on board, because trying to hire staff in July for a charter school that's a little bit more remote like Dace Creek would have really been a challenge. So we started the year fully loaded. I had to hire some help in instructional assistance, but for the most part, our teaching staff has been there, and so they're experienced, and that was really nice to step into.
And to have folks in that type of an area want to be there and be there for the long term, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think one of the best kept secrets in my book is just how tightly bound that community is to one another, and not just the teaching staff with the community, but the community as a whole. It really is wonderful. It reminds me a lot of my youth in Douglas County, where you have neighbors who are truly neighborly, and they really look out for one another and one another's kids. It's really very nice to see.
And talk about the condition of the buildings in the district.
So the Dace Creek school is actually older. I think it was originally built in 1921. And so over the course of its history, it's had some additions. It was originally just an elementary school, and then it became this K-8 or K-12. In doing so, they had to add new annexes. So right now, it's in pretty good shape for as old as it is. I will tell you that. I was pleasantly surprised to find that. We do have a seismic restructure, seismic rebuild that we're going to do on the gymnasium here in the next year. We're hoping to roll out the RFP for that in the next few weeks, where we can have some work done. It's not damaged or anything. It's just going to be reinforced so that the gymnasium can be used in emergency situation for that part of the county as a place where first aid and other emergency services could center themselves in the case of a natural disaster.
Now, how does Dace Creek do in terms of technology and the internet and all that?
We're in pretty good shape. We have all of our building is all a big hotspot for Wi-Fi. We even actually have an esports team where we compete nationally in electronic gaming. I didn't know that was even a thing, and actually until I came to Dace Creek. But we have a team, we have a coach, and the kids are very active in that. So we have good technology. We have more Chromebooks per student than we have students. We have very good resources that way, and that even translates even into music, where we have keyboards and other things and instruments to serve our students that I'm surprised to find we have in a district our size.
And I imagine with the older building, buildings. Over time, they've done all this work before now, but just in terms of everything that had to be done to address technology and, you know, electronics and just how many plugins you have in a room and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. It's interesting because we are a smaller Douglas County school, then we end up working a lot with the Education Service District here, the Douglas County Education Service District that's here in Roseburg. They actually help service and support a lot of our electronic needs in regards to Wi-Fi and internet capabilities. And so they are constantly, they actually have a staff member who serves with our staff on a daily basis in the school who helps make sure that we're up and running and we're constantly supported in all of our technological needs. It's very nice.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 later this afternoon. Umpqua Valley Live, we'll look at arts, entertainment, community events. A lot of live guests in this afternoon to cover that. And on Monday's program for Inside Douglas County, we're going to talk with Jamie Williams, Director of Adult Outpatient Program with ADAPT, as we look at Recovery Month and the Recovery Run event next weekend. And Joe LaFontaine from Days Creek Charter School in with us now, talking about getting back to the district. So how long ago did you actually move back to the Roseburg then?
So we've just been back for a little over a year now. We came back in July of last year. Yeah. So
getting obviously reacclimated to the area, you had been gone for quite a while. What did you notice that it maybe changed the most?
Oh, you know, we were down here quite a bit. Honestly, I still have family here. My sister still lives in Winston. Some of her kids. My wife is. She was born in Roseburg, and her mom still lives and brother live in Green. So we were down here all the time. So we actually, when we did visit, we liked to drive around and see what had changed. But there's been quite a few changes to the Winston-Dillard area we've noticed. And in Roseburg, just some of the commerce that's kind of expanded has been nice to see, too.
Yeah, I imagine coming back, talking to folks, you know, you look there and it's like, okay, that building didn't used to be there.
Entirely.
And, yeah. So talk about security enhancements. Now, you know, that topic has gotten a lot of attention in recent years. School districts, for a lot of not good reasons, essentially due to incidents that have happened in various places. But a lot of people would probably look at an area like Days Creek and say, they probably don't need to do anything out there.
Yeah. So... probably that's probably what they'd think. I mean, there are issues when you're talking about security. It's not just like is somebody coming in the door with a gun. That's not what it's about all the time. It's about making sure that kids are safe coming and going from campuses. It's also, you know, is your campus secure in such a way that people are welcome there? You know, they can drive in and park their car and come into the front door, but are they welcome there too much to where kids are exposed to others? And so you've got to have some awareness in regards to who's visiting your campus and who's able to come and go, because you don't want other people's children exposed to visitors, because that, I mean, parents don't want that. So you've got to have an awareness, and you've got to, but at the same time, you want to be open. You want to be receptive to the public.
And what kinds of things have been done or are being looked at in the future?
Well, right now, there's a lot of protocols that are put in place for safety purposes. And I know by working on a council of superintendents here in the county that there's some protocols that we're all putting in place. We're actually trying to standardize those protocols in such a way that when we do speak with police about issues that happen in schools, then we're using common language. So if the police were to call us and say, hey, you know, we need you to lock down, that means the same thing at my school as it would mean at South Umpqua, or it would mean at Yonkala. We're just trying to organize ourselves that way so that should, the, you know, something happen where we need to secure people and make sure that they're safe, just a few words means the same thing across the county.
Well, and my understanding, too, from talking to some of the other superintendents and from law enforcement, was that that kind of came up last school year when we had an incident with a whole lot of false reports in a short amount of time, and not everybody did necessarily use the same language, which just sort of stymied law enforcement, making sure, you know, what they were dealing with.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too. I wasn't in the building at the time, but I did hear some conversation about that, and I think it's a good way to go. Honestly, I know that while being in Portland and being in charge of the high schools, there were nine comprehensive high schools that I had to oversee. We had to have common language just to have our conversations as a team. And so it doesn't make any sense for us to be operating, you know, with 9 or 12 different languages here in Douglas County when we're really looking at the same law enforcement agency that would be serving so many of us. So it makes a lot of sense to me that we would organize ourselves with some common language.
So coming into this, what are your top goals for this year?
Well, we have a number of things that we're working on, actually. The staff today, we're a four-day school week. So on the fifth day, a couple times a month, the staff gets together and they work on instruction. And that's actually what today is for us in Days Creek. All morning, we were working on focusing on just how we're going to create learning targets and organize that around our instruction. So we're very intentional about our instructional designs. That's one of the big things that we're working on right now as an instructional team. As a school district, we're looking at just our facilities and how we can keep them up and running and make them better. So we're constantly looking at just some finer things to improve. We added a baseball diamond this last year, and so now we're looking at adding some groundskeeping support to make sure that when you add something, you're actually going to be able to take care of it. And so one of the things that has impressed me about the Days Creek School District is that they're very intentional about how they keep their facilities up and running and the manpower they put behind that. They're not skimping on it. They're really trying to make sure that they have the right people in place to take care of the facilities.
And I imagine that sports and having that available is a big deal out in an area where there's, you know, sometimes not a lot of other options.
Oh, you couldn't say it much louder. I tell you, today is homecoming game. We're playing Powers. Go Wolves. And tonight we have a bonfire following the game. We got our DFPA approval earlier this week, and so the student body is stoked. We're excited to be playing our homecoming game tonight, and we have a lot of community support for all of our athletics. Our cross country team and our volleyball teams are all full. We have even middle school teams that are playing active schedules here in South County.
And talk about the work of the board and kind of beginning a relationship with them.
You know, the board is actually a very, very positive aspect to the work for me. They have a very strong heart for trying to do what is right for the community and for the school. They have been nothing but warm to me in the work, and we have a great relationship in that we sit down and we talk very openly about the things that are important and that are ongoing at the school. They're very interested in also training themselves to be better board members, so that they can be stronger representatives of their community. They've already taken some training. They've asked for more training, and I'm right in there with them. We're excited to do that, and we're all just growing together. It's kind of like you were talking about lifelong learners a little bit earlier. That's what these people are, and they're not necessarily people that are tied right to the school. These are truly community members with a real interest in making sure that this school is successful in the community.
So why did you get into education?
Well, how much time do we have? So honestly, growing up in Winston, my mom, I was born just above Tiller, actually, out in South Douglas County. So, I mean, I'm actually from the Days Creek area originally, if you want to get down to it. But my mom raised the four of us kids in Winston by herself. She never drove her whole life. She never was a driver. And so as my brother and I were in Little League, It was really common for us to have games in different places. We were 2 years apart, so he might be playing Pee Wee over there, and I'd be playing Little League over there. And oddly enough, the community really got around my mom and supported her getting to our games. They would take her to, I mean, in the middle of the game, she'd show up because another parent would drop her off, and she'd watch half of one game and see the other one. And the bottom line was, honestly, it sounds a little bit cliche, but that community raised us. And because of that, I really felt a really strong need to return to Winston to contribute there myself, which is why I came back to teach there, then taught there for, worked there for 21 years before leaving.
Wow. A lot to talk about and a lot of things ahead for you this year. Joe LaFontaine, Dace Creek Charter School, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.